This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 10, Shira Gill, overcoming overwhelm in your home 15 minutes at a time. Join us as we fangirl over Shira Gill, professional organizer and life coach guru who merges minimalism, organization, and style. She gives us powerful thoughts to overcome overwhelm in your home, all starting with just 15 minutes. We swear, 15 minutes. Well, well, well. Welcome to the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with your girlfriends about all the wellness.
Let's discuss what the gurus are saying and weave the good stuff into our lives.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us. We are about to hop on the phone with Shira Gill, and we have to tell you that she was so amazing to talk to. We definitely were starstruck. You could tell it in our voices. We were fumbling and mumbling just a little bit.
Yeah, it was almost like we were talking to Tim Riggins.
Yes, it was almost like we were talking to Tim Riggins, but in beautiful female form. The truth is that she really wowed us, and I think she'll wow you too. She has wowed a lot of people. Her work and her home have been featured in Domino Magazine, Parents Magazine, Sunset Magazine, C Magazine, Goop, and other national publications. Her first-of-its-kind virtual closet makeover program has been taken by over 1,000 women, representing every continent on the globe. Pretty incredible. She's launching a brand new program. It's called the Get Organized Masterclass, and it is launching in February, so you have to go get signed up now. And now to our conversation with Shira. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Honestly, we feel like we don't know how we hit the jackpot. We don't know how we got so lucky. We're so stoked about this.
That's so fun. Well, I was like, any friend of the life coach is a friend of mine. And I love your Instagram. I feel like you guys are killing it.
Oh, that is so nice of you to say.
Thank you so much. Yes. Well, that's wonderful. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, here we go. So let's see. I was born and raised in San Francisco, California, and my parents were kind of hippies. And so I was raised as an only child. And really what I heard throughout my entire childhood was just the value and importance of people and quality time and experiences over material things. Gosh. So I definitely learned, you know, this kind of minimalist philosophy from my parents. But what's interesting is I always loved stuff. I always loved fashion, and I always was really interested in interior design. And so I kind of always had to figure out how to reconcile the fact that I loved, you know, aesthetics and was so attracted to beautiful things. And I had grown up really learning this value of things are not important. It's people and experiences that are really where you should be putting your energy. And so I think what happened for me is I kind of developed my own philosophy around minimalism that now really informs the work I do with other people, which is kind of giving people permission to love things and love aesthetics and really have fun curating their home and curating their closet, but still with the emphasis of how do you want to live? What are your core values? How do you want to show up in the world? And is the stuff you bring into your life truly supporting that? So that's been kind of my journey in terms of minimalism, is figuring out I don't like clutter and I don't like having excess. I like having just the right amount of stuff. And it's taken me years to kind of get to that point where I really feel like I have figured out the perfect amount of stuff for me. And now the work that I do in the world is helping other people go through their own process of editing and organizing and styling their own homes and closets and even lives. So now I work with private clients in their homes all over the country. And then I run a bunch of virtual programs and help people now on every continent of the globe. So I feel like I've won the jackpot doing this work that I love and connecting with amazing people from all over the world and really talking about what's important.
Well, Shira, that is, I think, exactly why we fell in love with you, was because you somehow make minimalism stylish also. I think when we first think of minimalism, we think of like very bare bones. But what about us people who love style and aesthetics and, you know, spent their lives vintage shopping and curating all of these things?
Right.
And as we've gotten older, we realize maybe some of those things aren't as important. And so even the vintage shopping, it looks different when you're trying to take on a more minimalistic approach. But you make minimalism stylish and cool. And I think that's why we were like, she's our hero.
You're showing us how to do it in a very mindful way.
I love that. I mean, thank you for saying that. That really is my goal, is to kind of give people a fresh perspective on minimalism that isn't about deprivation or scarcity or, you know, living in a stark white box at all. But it's really about being just more thoughtful and more mindful about what you're bringing into your home and your life and approaching that with a lot of intention. And so I think, you know, I work with people in studio apartments and I work with people in huge mansions that take up, you know, entire city blocks. And what's been really interesting is the pain points of clutter and disorganization are totally universal. And the process that I take people through is the same, no matter what people's occupation, lifestyle, economic status. It really is the same thought process of starting to just really think about, what do I want for my life and my future? What is important to me? So really starting there with a values-based approach and then looking around your house and kind of going through and looking at your stuff with fresh eyes. And I think sometimes people are so used to their clutter and the landscape they live in, they don't even see the clutter anymore. And so sometimes it takes fresh eyes to really say, like, what is this pile about? You know, what's going on here? And sometimes I have clients that are like, I had no idea that I had a pile of dirty laundry, you know, sitting right next to my bed. It's just become part of the furniture. And so I think every single thing that you have in your home provides some sort of visual stimulation. And that can be positive, like a beautiful piece of art or fresh flowers, or it can be totally negative, like a pile of neglected papers or dirty dishes or laundry. The goal is to just open your eyes to your surroundings and start questioning everything. That's what I really love about my work, is just coming at it with curiosity instead of judgment.
Well, it sounds like the questioning is where you start with everyone. Tell us, is that where life coaching comes in?
Yeah. So yeah, good question. So I was a professional organizer for years before I became a life coach. And I really started seeing these bigger, deeper issues in my work that I wanted to have a toolkit to be able to help people with. And what I saw emerging was so much shame and so much judgment from my clients, and kind of asking themselves questions of like, why am I not better at this? Why am I such a mess? Why can't I get organized? And I knew that there had to be a better approach. And one of the best things that I learned from my life coach training was asking better questions. And the idea that your brain goes to work on finding answers to whatever questions you feed it. And so if you're asking questions like, did somebody give this to me? Could it be useful? Did I pay a ton of money? These questions are kind of rooted in guilt and obligation and fear. Yeah. And they're going to keep you stuck. And I really think clutter is created by fearful thinking. And so some of the questions I love to ask, you know, myself and my clients when it comes to editing a home are, does this item support my current values and priorities? Does this item fit in with the vision I have for my ideal home? Could this be useful for another person or helpful for another person? And so these questions kind of keep you focused on creating a space that supports your goals and style. And they're really rooted in abundant thinking, which I love, always kind of tricking the brain into abundant thinking, because I think most of our brains are wired for scarcity and for fear. You know, it's just how we're made. So I'm always wanting to really get to the root of why people are stuck and figuring out What are the limiting beliefs here? What are the questions you've been asking yourself that are kind of leading to this dead end? And how can we approach the process with more love and compassion and curiosity? So when I walk into a space and I see a mess everywhere, my mind kind of goes to work thinking, how can we improve this space? And what I find is my clients are more in the mindset of like, how did I get here? Why is this such a mess? Why can't I get it right? So I always want to switch it and really come at the problem with curiosity and just start kind of being curious. How did this happen? Why did we get here? What do you want to change? What would things look like in the future if they were your ideal vision? And then people start to get excited instead of, I guess, fearful.
Yeah, we've all had the person and been the person who's had like a giant sack of somebody's things that they don't want anymore dropped off at our house, right? Yeah. And sometimes I've been in a position in my life where that was really useful when I was first starting out with young kids and I was so grateful for those things. And sometimes I think, oh no, now I have their stuff and now I have to manage it. And I have to figure out what to do with it. And I love what you say about that. And I love what you say about delayed decision making.
Mm.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that. Both of those.
Yeah. So I think of clutter. What I realized, you know, after years of kind of going through people's stuff and seeing these piles, is a pile of stuff is just like a physical representation of decisions that haven't yet been made. So yes. If you think about maybe like an entryway and there's a pile of stuff, like I look at it and we start going through one thing at a time and it's like, oh, you know, this is an Amazon box that needs to be returned. I didn't yet make that decision and put it in my car and bring it to the post office. Or, you know, these are jackets that go back to my kid's closet. We didn't decide that they need to leave and make the decision and take the action. So yeah. I look at clutter, I think part of the reason it's so stressful for people is because people are smart enough to know these piles represent actions I haven't yet taken. And what I've seen is the action necessary is usually so quick and so easy. It's just the mental block of looking at it and the feeling of dread when you look at a big pile and thinking like, oh God, I don't want to deal with this. But I've found when you actually just make the decision, I'm going to deal with this, it generally takes like 3 minutes. I have been telling my clients for years, you know, I am a busy working mom. I have 2 young kids. We have a new puppy. Things are busy and hectic. But when I walk in the front door, I always put my coat on the hook, put my purse away, put groceries away. And many of my clients have said like, well, I don't have time for that. So I actually timed myself the other day because I really wanted to see, is this just the perception that it takes a long time or are they right? Is it really too much time to do this? And it literally took me under 2 minutes to put every single thing away in its designated home. So that kind of leads me to this idea of, I started this thing on Instagram called the 15 minute win challenge. And it's been so cool to see how people can get out of overwhelm and paralysis and into action by kind of tricking the brain. And so what I've been doing like in my own life when I feel overwhelmed by a task or with my clients is saying, let's just set a timer. And it can be 5 minutes, it can be 15 minutes, but a really small amount of time that doesn't feel overwhelming. And let's just see what we can do in that time. And then that's it. And then we'll walk away from it. And what I've been seeing is that people are getting amazing amounts of stuff done in 5 to 15 minutes time. Oh. So like one example from my own life is I had bought my kid some clothes that didn't fit. And it wasn't an online purchase. So I had to drive in my car to the store and take the stuff in and go wait in line and return the stuff. And it had been sitting by my door and I had so much resistance. Every time I saw it, I was like, ugh, I don't want to do this. And so I challenged myself to kind of try my own rule with this 15 minute win and was like, let me just set a timer for 15 minutes and see what I can do. So the store was 5 minutes from my house. I threw the stuff in my car, drove over. There was no line at the store. And literally, like in under 2 minutes, they had taken the stuff back, refunded my card. And in under 15 minutes, I had done this errand that had felt daunting to me for weeks. And like, you think about how much time you actually spend thinking about what you don't want to do. But then if you actually just get over the hump to do it, you get this sense of momentum and energy to do more things. So that's now become really the foundation of my work, is getting people out of that overwhelm and into action by just taking tiny micro actions.
Yeah. So you cleared your physical space and your mental energy as well.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Is that big hurdle, is that mental energy. When we see that pile, it's complete decision overwhelm.
Absolutely. And I listened to you on Jody Moore.
Better than that.
Yes, on her podcast. And one of the things you referenced was The Compound Effect, that book.
Yes.
Which really reminds me of what you were just talking about. It's just like those tiny actions that make the big difference.
Exactly.
And one of the things that he said was, you'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. And
100%.
Right, which is 100% what you're teaching people to do. But I love the application, you showing them. And we have, of course, followed along and seen a bunch of your 15-minute challenges.
Yes.
And it's so true. It definitely propels you into more action when you see what you can do in such a short time frame.
Right. Like, I find this work is kind of addictive. So it's really hard to start. But then once you do start, people are just on fire. And people have been writing to me and saying, there was this project that has felt so overwhelming and so daunting to me for literally years. And I used the 15-minute trick and now it's done. Like, I ended up spending 5 hours on it and I felt unstoppable. And so I really think the biggest thing is just getting over that initial nagging sense of overwhelm and it's going to take so long and I don't want to, and kind of letting your brain have a tantrum, but just saying, it's cool, brain. We're just going to do this for 15 minutes and then we can move on. I have been using it for like even doing my taxes, which for me is a big one. I love organizing my house. So that doesn't spark resistance for me, but I hate doing my taxes. And I remember talking for months about, I don't want to, and like literally being a toddler about it. And then my husband was like, why don't we just do an hour? We'll just do an hour on a Saturday, set a timer and see what we can get done. So at least we've started. And what was crazy is we set the timer for an hour. I felt like I could tolerate that amount of time. You know, I still get my weekend and to do fun things. And in that focused hour, we completed our entire taxes. And I thought, I have spent so much more than an hour whining and complaining about this thing that I didn't want to do. I could have just done it. So.
And isn't that like what we tell our kids too?
Right. Yes.
I'll never forget when I was young, I came from 6 kids. I was the youngest of 6.
Wow.
And so my mom one time was so fed up with people not putting the toilet paper roll back on the toilet paper holder that she called all 6 of us kids into one bathroom and she said, we're going to start a timer. I'm going to time how long it takes me to put this paper, this toilet paper onto the holder, guys, because I believe all of you can do it. I believe in you. And you know, it took like 15 seconds.
Right.
And every time I see an empty toilet paper holder now, I think about my mom's 15 second lesson. I think, come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't be lazy.
I love your mom. Your mom was onto something big.
She was. She was really onto something big trying to keep that house organized.
Right.
So yeah. I took your winter closet makeover last year and I loved it. And for our listeners, most of you have probably pinned Shira's closet. How many repins has your closet had on Pinterest?
It's had a lot of pins.
Yeah. So one thing that you said that I loved is you talked about everything in your house has to be managed. And it really hit home to me because I have 4 kids. And now when I'm out purchasing things, I think, do I want one more thing to manage?
Right. Like, is it worth it? Is this thing going to be worth it?
Yeah. Do I want to find a home for it and clean it, possibly water it? What kind of mental energy do I need to expend on this? Is that worth it to me? So I loved that bit of advice that you gave. I keep it in my mind all the time, especially when I'm strolling those Target aisles.
Oh, a Target is hard.
It's a hard place.
So hard. But yeah, I mean, I think there's constant noise telling us we need to buy things and it's going to be so fun and it's going to make us feel better. And it's really hard to slow down and kind of take a deep breath and think, well, what is the cost of buying this item? Like after the 5-second dopamine hit, then what? And because I get like a shopping high as much as the next girl. And I've had to slow myself down and really think like, both the costs, like actually, you know, am I going to go into credit card debt? Is it going to be stressful, the money I'm spending on this? Could I be spending this money on something else that maybe is more important? And then also, of course, as you mentioned, the physical cost of bringing yet one more thing into your house to manage. And so for me, I mean, I'm always trying to only shop when I have a list and a really clear vision of what I want. And that's a big part of the closet makeover program, is going on a purchase pause while you can actually take some time, catch your breath, and look at what you have. And what I find doing these closet makeovers is most people have no idea what's actually in their closet. And by removing all of the things that you don't love, that don't fit, that don't flatter, that are just collecting dust, you can actually kind of unearth your dream closet that's been hiding in your clutter closet and discover a whole new wardrobe without buying a thing and start to mix and match new pieces and look at it in a new creative way. And I love kind of the creative challenge of being a minimalist. So for me, you know, I like to have a very, very curated, edited closet, but as I mentioned, I also love fashion. So be on Pinterest or Instagram or, you know, some of my favorite fashion blogs and get an idea. But instead of running out and buying a whole new outfit, I will try to run to my closet and see what can I put together from what I have. And I have discovered so many new outfits and creative solutions from doing that, from just asking the question, can I duplicate this look or this vibe with what I already own? And I am 99% of the time able to do it. And the other 1%, I'll be like, oh, I really do need this one piece. And then I'll go get that and be really mindful that I'm buying something that I really want, that I have a reason to buy.
Yes. And you know exactly how you're going to wear it. And you know, you've thought through the whole thing. I love that so much. And I have used those, your same sentiments when I've gone through my closet too, asking myself, like, would I buy this item today? If it wasn't already in my closet, would I buy it? And if I wouldn't, then maybe I don't need it anymore. And you're so right. Before you know it, as you go through and edit your closet, you're left with all things that you truly love and that you feel like are a reflection of you.
Yes.
Today, current reflection.
And like one of my favorite things about it, I used to wear really mediocre loungewear, which I think like most people are guilty of just
we all,
right? Like the loungewear and the pajamas that are just dingy and old and kind of depressing. And then I had this thought, and workout too is the other category. I was like, I would rather have one or two really nice lounge, workout, PJ outfits and get rid of all the rest of it and then never dress like a schlump again.
Absolutely.
And so it's been like the biggest up level of my life. Every workout top and bottom that I like, I actually love. It's high quality. It flatters. I'm excited to put it on my body and getting rid of all that mediocre stuff, because then you don't wear it. It's just not an option. And I think, I don't know, at least for me, I would always reach for kind of the dingy, comfy stuff.
Yes.
Nor the nicer stuff. And so now I've just created a situation where I can only wear the nicer stuff. So I actually dress better having less stuff.
Oh, that's so nice. And I'm sure it just makes you feel better and everything.
So you talked about your workout clothes and your loungewear, and you always have this uniform. You always have the most gorgeous tops and jeans. Tell us what a day in the life of a minimalist looks like, from switching from working out to work clothes to coming home from work. Or how does your schedule look? How do you make that work?
Yeah, well, so I'm lucky enough, you know, I run my own business, so I make my own schedule. So the day-to-day varies a lot, but I would say we're all early risers in my family. And so we're kind of up early and have a quick breakfast together, scoot the kids out the door to school. And then, like you said, I mean, I have kind of a uniform. So I'm like a jeans and blouse girl. And so getting dressed takes me literally 3 seconds. Which took me many years to get there, to kind of figure out what is my style, what do I feel good in, what do I love. But but now it really is a matter of picking a top and picking a bottom, and everything goes together because I dress in a pretty neutral way. So I'm literally in like jeans and a blouse or jeans and a sweater pretty much every single day of the week. So I get dressed and then, you know, I'm either running programs or going on a podcast or writing or seeing clients, and then I pick my kids up, and then we do eat dinner as a family together every night. So we have super busy lives and we're all pretty independent, but we do have dinner together every night. My husband is a great cook, and so I spend a little time with my kids, we cook dinner. And then in terms of our routine, you know, when the kids walk in the door, they put all their stuff away right away. That does not come without some nagging sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. They're not perfect little robots, but it is something that I really do take that like 2 minutes to enforce, just like your mom with the toilet paper. So, you know, they're walking in with all their stuff and the soccer bag and the backpack and the coat and the whatever thing their friend gave them. And I do take that moment to say, all right, guys, put away all your stuff. Then we'll go do homework, or then we'll go get a snack, whatever the next thing is. So I think I'm mindful of all of the transition times. We're always putting things away and kind of like resetting the space. And the same thing with after dinner. Our routine is, my kids are now 8 and 10. They clear the table. My husband does the dishes, and I kind of facilitate them packing their lunches for the next day. And then getting them upstairs to get in their jammies and brush teeth and get set so they're all squared away for the next day. And then for me, I have a little nightly routine where I look at my calendar for the next day. My days are usually pretty jam-packed, like every minute is scheduled. So I look at my day always a day ahead of time, and I plan out, like, what do I need to do? What do I need to prep? Do I need to pull out my outfit? Do I need to pack snacks? Am I going to be gone all day? And it takes me probably 10 to 15 minutes. And I am pretty diligent about doing that every night before I read or watch TV or kind of settle in for the night. I have found the days that I don't do it, my day just does not run smoothly. And so it's another one of those kind of 15-minute wins that, even though I'm tired and I just want to relax, I sit with my computer and my notebook. I kind of forecast the day ahead. What am I doing? I jot down notes, plan anything, prep anything. And that's how I end my day, is really feeling like I'm ready for the next day.
Wow, what a great practice.
Yeah, we love that. That's so amazing. And Shira, it's very obvious how this mindful organization really does translate into every aspect of your life. Such a good example for all of us. And we know that you have created this new program, and we want you to tell us about it.
Yes. So I'm so excited. I've been doing these really specific programs. So I started with the closet makeover program, and then I did the workspace makeover program. And I had a lot of people writing to me and saying, I have a different project, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And I just really want the support and the guidance. And so what I'm launching this year, and I'm going to plan to launch it every year in January to do like a new group, but I'm just going to launch it live once a year, is my new program is called Get Organized Masterclass. And the idea is, I'm going to teach you all of the tools you need to move out of overwhelm into action. It's a 4-week program, so we're going to move really quickly. And I'm going to have everybody pick one specific goal that we're going to work on together. So I'm going to actually be picking my own overwhelming project, and I'm going to take everyone behind the scenes and show them how I'm going to break it down to make it less overwhelming. I'm going to share all the bumps and bruises and behind the scenes of how I kind of manage my mind around overwhelm. And I'm going to be teaching all of the big foundational principles of how to organize anything, how to edit anything, how to style anything. And I'm putting in tons of fun bonuses. So I made labels for your whole house, organizing labels for the process, a resource guide, a product guide. So I really am wanting to give people every single tool they could possibly need to get organized, both in their home and their physical space and in their life. So I'm super excited about it.
Oh my gosh, we're excited about this.
Yes. So where do we sign up?
Yeah, so it'll be on my website, shiragill.com, and it will be on the programs page. I will be open for registration January 2nd, and then we will be starting the first week of February all together.
Got it. Okay, so first week of February is when it actually starts.
Yes.
Taking action. Okay, amazing. Yep. Okay, and where else can people find you if they want to learn more about you and look you up?
Yeah, so I love connecting with people on Instagram. That's really the best way. And that is just at Shira Gill, S-H-I-R-A-G-I-L-L. And that's where I also host the 15-minute win challenge. So I love seeing what other people are up to, and I share them and have a highlight in my profile so you can check out other people's 15-minute wins from all over the world.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing this today. And before we go, we wanted to talk to you about your bevies.
Oh, yes. Let's get down to business.
Let's talk about those beverages. What are you drinking today, Shira?
Okay, so I'm going to be really boring, but I guess it is sort of on brand with being a minimalist. So I literally don't drink coffee or tea or soda. I drink water all day long. In the morning, I like to have hot water with lemon, and I am drinking it out of my favorite mug, which is the ceramicist is Lula Pottery. She's in Portland, and it is like the biggest, coziest mug in the whole world.
Hey, we love a good mug find. And of course, you have one beautiful mug from a ceramic.
I love it so much.
Yes. And I do. In addition to drinking water, I also love sparkling water. And I have to give a shout out to the best sparkling water I've ever found, which is called Topo Chico. I don't know if you guys know it.
We're going to find out about it immediately, though.
It comes in a cute glass bottle. It's very stylish, and it is the most clean, crisp, kind of effervescent sparkling water I've ever had.
Effervescent. You know how to talk to us.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is what I'm drinking.
Okay. Britt, what are you drinking?
You know what, Shira, I'm feeling so proud because I am actually drinking water too today.
Oh yeah. Way to hydrate.
I not have a beautiful mug, but I am drinking water out of my giant Stanley cup that I always use.
We have, however, taken on the water bottle declutter. I did it actually on my Instagram like a month ago.
Yay.
Declutter your water bottle drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Britt and I definitely stay strong on our two water bottles. That's all we use. I use a Hydro Flask tumbler with a plastic straw, and she uses her Stanley.
Yep.
Love it. I love it. That is one of the most commonly hoarded items, by the way.
Yes.
I want to tell everybody, don't give them to us for favors anymore.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Around in our house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And the swag bags. Everyone has enough water bottles.
Yes. Exactly. Well, I just have my soy chai tea latte today. And
that's a good way to start your day.
Well, you know, the kids went back to school today, so I needed a little bit of a kick this morning.
Yes.
It was the early morning. Okay. Yeah. And finally, let's talk about our well looky here.
Oh, yeah. That's so fun. I love that you do this. So I have so many. Can I pick two?
Yes, please.
Okay. Hold back.
So I'm always kind of on the hunt for fewer better things. So I'm always looking. And my one new thing that I discovered this week was I love a good handbag. And I try to restrain myself from buying new handbags all the time and being a handbag hoarder. Mm-hmm. So what I found is Claire V, who is one of my favorite handbag designers, she has started offering different straps for your totes. And so instead of buying a whole new bag, she has these super fun, like everything from woven braided leather straps to canvas strap with a neon stripe. And you can just buy a new strap for your bag and it feels like a whole new bag. So
that's so cute. Cool. And I love the Claire V bags because they're not screaming a brand at you, but they're still really nice bags.
Totally. Yeah. They're very clean and classic and don't have the big logos and they hold up really well. So I treated myself to a new strap for my bag and I'm delighted by that.
I love it. So that's a great one.
And then my other one is I have thick curly hair and I have been looking for good products and I'm trying to go very clean beauty, get all the toxins out and all the chemicals. And someone suggested to me just using coconut oil. And so I ordered a little jug of organic coconut oil. I think it was literally $6. And it is the best product I've ever put on my hair for defrizzing. And it's great for nails, for skin, like in the winter when you get dry. It's like the best all-purpose product that I've ever found.
What's the brand you got?
Literally, I mean, I did no research. I literally went on Amazon and put in virgin organic coconut oil and it comes in a big tub. I can send you the brand. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I think any organic coconut oil will do. And it's literally like this pure product found in nature that is like the cure-all for everything. You can use it for diaper rash, for your hair, for your skin, for your nails. You can cook with it. And it is like the cheapest thing you can ever buy.
That's amazing. Wow. You thank you so much, Shira. We can't thank you enough. Everything you've said has just been total gold and we just cannot wait to share this.
Oh, my pleasure. Super fun to be here. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shira.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wasn't Shira so amazing? Oh, we think so too. We hope you go check her out. Before we let you go, we wanted to share our well-looky hairs for the week with you. So first, I'll start with my well-looky hair for the week, and it is
a company called The Swell Company. And if you look up their handle on Instagram, it is the_swell_co. They are the most adorable polymer clay earrings. And they have nickel-free and sterling silver backs, so they won't bother your ears. And they are very lightweight. You'd be so surprised. Some of them look pretty big, but they actually are incredibly lightweight and wearable. And I absolutely love them. And it just so happens that my cousin started the company. And so I'm just feeling really proud of her. And her photography is amazing and the products are equally amazing. And her marketing says swell, swell, swell.
No which, brainer.
I mean, come on. It's basically well, well, well.
The earrings are so cute. They're really cool, like modern organic shapes and they're just really, really pretty.
Fun so colors fun. And everything. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. My well-looky here for today, speaking of organization with Shira Gill, is the Kugis system from IKEA. Kuggis. So these are bins that actually come with a lid. They're just white and plastic and they have a simple hole in them to, you know, like a to put your finger in and pull the bin out. But they come in so many different sizes and I love them. I use really large ones for my mudroom and when I have a big haul from Costco, that is what I put them in, and they're clean and simple, and they're such a no-brainer. I have also been looking into different ways to reuse items around my house or from secondhand stores for organization, too. So I'm also loving just, like, baskets and reusable bags for that kind of thing. But the Kugis is definitely one that I buy over and over and over, and it's kind of nice because then it's in every room of my house, and you can move things around easily and everything matches.
I've seen them. She even has them out at her pool, all of her pool equipment, like goggles and sunscreen. And I mean, we're not in that time of year right now, but going over there in the summer, it's so nice. And she can put labels on them and it really does look so clean and nice out there.
Yeah, they're easy to wash. You spray them out. They're so simple. And they've held up really well outside too.
Yes, they look, they look amazing. So, okay, great tips. We hope you guys got as much out of this as we did, and we hope you have a wonderful week. Be well.
Be well.